Welcome into the whole show. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Busy show today. Busy show lineup. We're going to have Zach Stevens finally giving us some time from DNVR Broncos, probably the busiest Broncos reporter there is. We got a lot to talk about. Draymond Jones, what did his comments? We talked about that a little bit yesterday. What did that mean? So we'll talk, obviously we're going to talk wristband. You know, wristband gate, that's the big one now. How ridiculous is this kidding, man? Like, we're paying attention. You and I were doing it. We're looking up online pictures of him playing this season and trying to check whether or not he had the wristband. So we'll talk to Zach about all of that coming up. UNC Bears volleyball head coach Lindsey Oates going to join us on the program at the bottom of the hour. They have a huge contest coming up for their chances here to put themselves in a really good spot. They're tied for first in the Big Sky with four matches remaining. Big one. They got Idaho State tonight at 6 o'clock. With a win, that would set up a battle for the conference title with Weber State. And so that would happen on Saturday night. That would be huge. So big volleyball match tonight. And we'll talk to Lindsey about that. So much to get to, so little time. How about the Denver Nuggets getting this thing last night? They were down by 18 points on Jell. 18 in the second half with Joker in foul trouble pretty much throughout the game. He still ended up with 24 points, but the Nuggets find a way. 122-119. So Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon were kind of asked about, you know, that game and, you know, basically saying, hey, that's a game you typically don't win. That's a game you probably wouldn't win last year. I don't know if Jamal Murray really liked the question.
Most improbable win you've been around in a long time?
Why?
Well, when you're down 18, it looked like you guys had an opportunity to give up, but you did not.
You were down in the second, third quarter. It's fine.
This might be a reach, but I feel like this is a game you guys lose last year and probably lose by 20. Is that fair?
I think we would have battled back, but, you know, guys like Jamal and guys like Michael Porter, we didn't have them last year. So they were really the reason that we were able to get back into the game and kind of take that bump and get over that hump of coming back, being resilient, and winning this game.
Was it a fair question? Scott Hastings on the question there with Altitude TV. I mean, did you have a problem with the question? We were all kind of thinking it. Like, is this a game typically? I mean, is this a game many teams win, let alone the Nuggets last year without MPJ, without Jamal Murray? Was that a fair question?
It sounds harsh when you hear it directly and you're like, ooh, that's...
Especially when he's like, this game you probably lose by 20.
Yeah, and it sounds rough. But in truth, last night watching that game in the third quarter, I'm like, we're going to lose this game. Jokic was out
with
2 minutes in the third quarter. He's already out with a foul, so he has to sit most of the second half. And you're like, oh, we don't have Jokic, Bruce, or Christian Brown's not playing tonight. We don't have, you know, some of our guys. We might just lose this game. And it kind of was expected. Oh, second game on the road trip, you're a little tired, whatever. But this team just continues to battle for each other and get wins.
Jamal's kind of spicy like that sometimes. You know, sometimes he responds really quickly and he's positive, but he was more like, dude, we're down. It was third quarter. You know, we're going to come back. We're going to win that game. You like that mindset?
Well, this is a team that came back 3-1 in the bubble twice.
Yeah.
They are no strangers to big leads and making comebacks.
Especially with that group. Especially with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., who both have, in my opinion, Angel, are ahead of schedule. I thought maybe this month was going to be full of a lot of, and Jamal doesn't have the hops yet. It's not going to be there for him. MPJ's just shooting. He's not really doing much else. That's not the case. This team, it's starting to feel like maybe the Nuggets. I mean, we looked at the power rankings yesterday, and Denver's sitting at sixth, according to ESPN's NBA power rankings. Are you starting to believe? Like, do you feel like this team is one of the best teams in the league right now?
I am starting to believe it. Just talking about the two guys, Jamal and Michael, Jamal is still working his way back. You know, we're still not in the 30-point range where we would like to see him, but his energy is there. His mental, you know, ability to be on the court for that long. Let's see, 30 minutes last night, 18 points. Eight boards. The rebounding on this team has been crucial.
Everybody's getting involved. Look at Aaron Gordon with 16 boards. And Aaron Gordon right now, he's not the MVP on this team right now, but he has been, he's pretty close.
I think he is the bread of this team.
He might be the bread. He might be.
He's been the most consistent player since game one.
He completes this thing. Because what is he doing? He's playing like a big man should. He's playing like a power forward. He's not settling for threes. I mean, he still takes threes. He took three last night, made one of them. But he's not settling for that more often than not. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, because we want to get out of here quickly so we can make time for Zach. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more from FMS Bank, check out their website, fmsbank.com/KFKA, for deals and specials that only KFKA listeners can get. And there it is. That's the good for me, is you're down 18. You come all the way back. You win another road win for this team. They've moved up over 500 on the road, 8-3 on the season, 4-3 on the road, which is extremely important right now because that November schedule starting to even out a little bit. You know, we knew it was going to be tough. There's a lot of road games, but the Nuggets find a way to get it done. The bad for me is here we are again with Russell Wilson. The wristband thing, yes, it is a story. I am going to talk about it. I'm just flabbergasted that every single week, Russ can say it's a clear day out, and people are going to flip out. He could say, hey, I heard there's a chance of snow. People are going to lose their minds on the dude. So it's the Russ hate. You hope he can find a way to silence it. The only way to do that is to win games and perform well in those games. And you got another test coming up against Tennessee. Okay, the ugly. What's with all the jerseys, dude? Like, the city jerseys. And I mean, everybody's got a jersey for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The 5 million jerseys now.
Yeah, so the NBA today released their city edition jerseys. So all 30 teams have an alternate jersey now. If you want to look at the Denver one, it's kind of cool, a little throwback, a little modern stuff. But some of these are just, they make no sense. Like, the Phoenix Suns are wearing this bright turquoise color.
Yeah.
The Spurs are something similar.
Look at the Warriors one.
That one's hideous. I kind of like it, but it just doesn't look good. It's like a black jersey, and it fades into, like, this gold rose-looking thing. Washington's wearing some pink salmon-colored thing. Some of them are nice, but some of them
Houston's
are just...
Houston's is cool because it's the throwback.
Those are cool.
It's starting to lose its shine when we change jerseys all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I got to look through 10 different jerseys to find one that I want to get.
Yeah, I like having your main jerseys and then once in a while, but it's like Denver has 4 million different uniforms. All right, that's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. We're going to take a short break. We'll have Zach Stevens on the show from DNVR Broncos. Draymond Jones, is that guy going to be a long-term Bronco? From his comments yesterday, doesn't really sound like he's thinking about Denver long-term. We'll talk to Zach about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, look who we have here. Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, always look forward to these conversations.
Oh, Brady, me too. I'm happy to be back on.
Yeah, man, love having you. Love talking Broncos with you. Okay, I hate that I'm starting with this, but the wristband, we got to talk about it.
Wild enough. I mean, who would have thought we'd be talking about wristbands? But courtesy of Pete Carroll, who can't stop bringing up Russell Wilson. It's bizarre. I mean, Pete's got good stuff going on in Seattle, but he just wants to keep poking at Russell Wilson, and that's what he did on Monday on a radio show. He talked about how Geno is wearing a wristband and it's working well, and then mentioned in the past, there's been pushback to wearing wristbands for the quarterback position. Well, Pete, You didn't say Russell Wilson's name, but you've only had one quarterback the past decade. We know who you're talking about. So Russ was asked about it yesterday and said, oh, I didn't know you had to have a wristband in order to win. I've done a lot of winning without a wristband. Kind of a shot back at him, which was great. And then just 30 minutes after that, Russell Wilson was on the practice field wearing a wristband. I absolutely love it.
Well, and that's the thing we're all going to be paying attention to, and I have several wristband questions for you, Zach. But, you know, Pete Carroll, you sure he wasn't talking about Hasselbeck? Are you sure it was Russell Wilson? Are we positive on that 100%?
I feel pretty darn good, especially I don't think Pete's been making comments left and right about other quarterbacks. It's pretty much just been Russ since he left.
Well, either way you want to slice it, yeah, Pete Carroll's still taking some digs there. And I guess I look at it and go, I mean, Russ was very good. He had an arguable Hall of Fame career with Seattle. Every single year was pretty good for him. Even last year, his numbers weren't terrible when their season was bad. So it is kind of a weird thing to say, well, yeah, that's why Geno's good. The last guy didn't do it. Russ was pretty damn good for Seattle.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, even on a bad year, which a lot of people said Russell had a bad year last year, it was still 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Now, the Broncos would dream for that type of Russell Wilson this year, with him struggling only 6 touchdowns to 4 picks.
All right, so will he wear the wristband then against Tennessee this weekend? Is that what we know?
I expect him to wear the wristband, and a big reason is because he did wear it for the first time against the Jaguars. And, of course, Russell Wilson and the Broncos offense had success in the second half, scoring 14 points, including a go-ahead touchdown drive at the end. So I expect him to continue that because it worked. And just like the Broncos are wearing the same uniforms, which a lot of fans hate because it worked, there's no reason to take the wristband off now.
I kind of like the uniform, Zach. Am I the only one? I'm kind of in on this.
You know, I'm not a uniform guy, yeah. So I don't really have as much disdain as a lot of people. But you know what? It's only weird if it doesn't work, right?
Yeah, exactly. So let's see what happens. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Okay, Zach, I want to talk about Draymond Jones. But before we get there, how is this locker room? Because you hear rumors, you hear reports, whatever, after the Bradley Chubb thing. How is this locker room? Are they positive, negative? What's the state of the players right now?
You know, I would say that the locker room for a 3-5 team is positive. A win before the bye really helped the group stay together where they are right now. But a very interesting comment made by Justin Simmons earlier in the week when talking about just how the team stays motivated. And he said that the Broncos need to keep that playoff mindset and everything's still in front of them. So he said the right things. But an interesting thing that he dropped in was, you know, that there's still a big opportunity for guys to work on getting other contracts, getting second, third, fourth contracts, which from Justin, from a leader of this team saying, you know, guys are, you know, still playing for money, really kind of raised my eyebrows to, oh, wow, that's kind of interesting that he's already pointing to that while saying all the other right things, of course. But it made me think, oh, okay, maybe some people in the locker room have started to kind of take the more personal route now.
So what about Draymond Jones then? Is he one of those guys? You know, he was asked, and you were there, of course, about his future with the Broncos, and, you know, in a roundabout way, basically just said, I'm here now. Didn't sound like a ringing endorsement for wanting to be back with the Broncos.
It certainly didn't. And now one way you can read into that is he does not want to be back with the Broncos. Another way you can read into that is this is a negotiating tactic for him, saying, I'm not going to give the Broncos any benefit of the doubt here. I'm not going to give them any help in the negotiating process, saying, like, I really want to be here, and then losing momentum. But Draymond Jones, Draymond Jones has been a guy, the first time we talked to him this year in the offseason, he talked about how he left money out on the table last year. So this is a guy, and there's nothing wrong with being money motivated, but Draymond Jones is very money motivated. So I don't expect, sometimes you get hometown discounts from guys from signing early. I don't expect Draymond Jones to give that to the Broncos. And I think it's interesting that Draymond Jones, after the bye week, still does not have a contract. So I think that this is going to be something where if you want to keep Draymond Jones, you're going to have to pay him top dollar. And Brady, top dollar may blow some people's minds. We're talking about a similar contract to what Bradley Chubb just got last week. 5 years, $110 million, $63 million guaranteed, $22 million per season. That's the massive deal we're talking about with Draymond Jones.
Do you see George Payton doing that? Do you see this group doing that, especially after, you know, the money they ended up giving Russell Wilson?
Man, that is a ton of money to give a defensive lineman. But, hey, if Draymond Jones goes out and gets double-digit sacks, that's the going rate for that type of player. So I don't see them just letting Draymond Jones walk. What I could see is a franchise tag, which will be about $18 to $20 million. And then if he does it again next year, he puts up double-digit sacks again, then you just open the wallet and say, okay, Draymond, you are worth this money. Aaron Donald is getting $31.5 million per year. No one is Aaron Donald. But the other guys, the second highest paid defensive linemen, are getting paid $22 million. So that's the route I would take, is say, okay, if I'm going to open up the wallet this much for Draymond, I want to see it 2 years in a row. And with the Broncos only having one franchise tag, as every team is only allowed one, they don't have to worry about Bradley Chubb anymore. So they have that to use on Draymond.
What about some of the other guys, Zach, coming into the season? We had questions surrounding guys. Well, Bradley Chubb was one of them. How about on the offensive side, Dalton Reisner? You know, obviously a local-ish guy, so certainly a fan favorite. Are there any talks there about, you know, him signing on long-term with Denver?
Yeah, there's going to be talks between the Broncos and Dalton. The Broncos want him back, but a big thing is just going to be the price here, because unlike Draymond Jones, Dalton Reisner has been okay, and really had a great rookie season, looked like he was going on a Pro Bowl type of career, and then fell off maybe a little better of a season this year. So it's going to be about finding the right price point for him and making it worth for both sides, because what you're getting with Dalton Reisner right now is a serviceable left guard. And so if you can get him for serviceable money, you don't want to have to open up another hole on the offensive line, because the Broncos are already going to have to fill in right tackle. They may have to work at center this year. And left tackle, they may have to make a move with Garrett Bowles. So that's one that they would like to do, but for at the right price.
Certainly the offensive line is going to be, I would imagine, a point of emphasis this offseason for Denver. All right, Zach, kind of going forward, looking at Tennessee here, it feels like forever since the Broncos played last, not only the bye week, but it was early because of the London game. We saw three really good drives. We saw the Broncos maybe start to click a little bit. What do you expect to see? I mean, did the Broncos solve their issues? Did they simplify the offense enough? Are we going to see a better offense this second half of the season?
You know, Brady, there's certainly hope for that. I'm not going to go all in and say just based off of that game, especially the second half, that the offense is fixed. But there are things to hold out hope for. And I do think that the offense is going to be better in the second half. Now, that's not saying much, of course, because 15 points per game, any team should be able to do, specifically with Russell Wilson. But this game coming up is a very interesting test, because Russell Wilson kind of clicked in the second half. There's no reason to slow Russ down this week, because the Tennessee Titans, Brady, have the best run defense in the NFL. The Broncos' run game, not that good. They have three guys on the roster that weren't on the team a month ago, and then Melvin Gordon as well. However, the Tennessee pass defense is not good, one of the worst in the NFL. So if you're able to get Russ going, that's the way to win. So that's why I want to see the Broncos attack this Tennessee defense. And I do think that the Broncos' offense is going to be better. Now, the question is it going to be 25 points per game? If they average 25 points per game in the second half of this season, the Broncos are going to be a playoff team and make a really good run in the second half. If it's 21 points a game, they'll be better, but probably not good enough for a playoff run.
Zach Stevens joining us. Just a couple of more housekeeping items. KJ Hamler, Baron Browning. Just looking at some of the injuries here, even Randy Gregory. What do we expect? I mean, is KJ, is he listed as questionable? Do you think he's going this weekend?
Yeah, I don't think KJ is going to go, and it's such a bummer to see him go down and come up with a hamstring injury, because that is an injury that not only has bugged him in the past, but it's an injury that when you look at guys that are just built off speed. It's an injury that can really pop up and hurt him, so it's a bummer to see that happen, especially he was a guy that was providing such a different element to this offense and really becoming a spark for them the past few games. Baron Browning, he really will be questionable in this game. And Randy Gregory, I do not expect to see him this week, maybe not even next week.
Yeah, we want to see this pass rush without Bradley Chubb. And obviously, we want to see what guys like Baron Browning can do in the second half of the season. Zach, my man, love what you do. Love your reporting, as always. Appreciate the time. Keep us updated on that wristband. My eyes are wide open for that.
You know, we're all going to be focusing on that white wristband on Russ's left arm.
There's always something around this team every week, whether it's high knees on the plane, it's Subway sandwiches, or just weird tweets. There's always something.
There is always something, and that's what you get when you get Russell Wilson. Unfortunately, everyone in Denver thought that it was going to be all good stuff. Now it's not all bad stuff. It's just all weird stuff.
Yeah, it is every single week, man. Zach, appreciate it. Nobody better than what you provide each and every week, so we'll be looking forward to your coverage leading in to a big game for the Broncos and Titans this weekend.
Brady, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. 11:30 the time. We'll take a short break. I believe we're going to get UNC head volleyball coach Lindsey Oates on the program, so we'll find out next. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 33 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. A huge game tonight. Big one for UNC volleyball. We have Lindsey Oates joining us now. Of course, this UNC team, the reigning Big Sky Conference tournament champs, are expecting big things as we're getting closer and closer to the end of the season. Coach, thanks so much for being on with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Huge game, huge opportunity for you guys tonight, Coach. To the start of the conference play for you, you guys start out the gates 0-2, but then, bam, you really start clicking, put yourself in a huge position where, you know, if you you take care of business against Idaho State tonight, a huge conference battle coming up later this weekend. So talk to us about that transition. You start out the gates 0-2, but you've been able to get everything rolling the right direction.
Yeah, that certainly tough. At the beginning of the conference season, we didn't have two of our outside hitters healthy, so Kinsey Harris and KJ Entz were dealing with some injuries, so we just weren't at full strength, and we didn't handle it well either. So we dropped to Idaho State at their place, and that's who we faced tonight, and then we also dropped to Montana State in that same first weekend. But since then, have only dropped one match and are on a seven-match winning streak, and as you said, if we can handle Idaho State tonight, it sets up a battle of the first-place team. Yeah. So we are tied right now with Weber State, and we face them at home on Saturday. And that's who we shared the regular season title with them last year, beat them in the finals of the conference tournament on their home floor. We've been in the finals with them the last 3 years, so that's become a fun rivalry. And we only get to play them once this year. We play every team twice except for two teams within the conference out of the 10-team conference, and so it's interesting that we only get to see them once, and it's in the second to last week of our conference season, so it's a little bit unique.
Yeah, no question about it. Joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, Coach Lindsey Oates, this UNC volleyball team, huge matchup tonight against Idaho State. And now, Coach, you've been at this a while. You always have teams ready to go, but is it difficult when you know, okay, this one is big because that sets up a really big one later on, of course, Saturday night. Is it hard to not overlook this situation tonight?
We've certainly talked about that. I think in a lot of ways it's not hard to overlook this one because they beat us at their place.
Sure.
So it's, you know, we look at their conference standings and go, well, you know, would we have the tendency to overlook them? Not with how we match up with them. This will be a very tough match for us. And in their last three matches, they beat Weber State at Weber State. So this is a tough team with Idaho State. I think our players understand the magnitude of it. Is Saturday won't have as much significance if we can't handle tonight.
Well, and as you mentioned, that last time out, you know, you getting some people healthy, getting them all back and ready to go. You have such a deep roster, though, so that's certainly helped you guys throughout the course of the season. But as you mentioned, that Idaho State one was a bummer, but you got your studs back. You got your players back for this one tonight.
We do, yes. We've been healthy for a while now with our pin hitters. One of our middles is still out, but for the most part, we're healthy, and we are deep, as you said. We have seven in our freshman class, and that class is really developing, and they are game ready now that we feel comfortable. We can put them in almost any situation and keep the same level or even, you know, enhance the level on the floor if we need to make that sub.
Joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, UNC volleyball head coach Lindsey Oates. And coach, the work never stops. You're focused on these matchups and rounding out the season. But you did. We saw the announcement yesterday that you signed three already to the class of 2023. Can you talk to our listeners about some of those players?
Yeah, absolutely. Signing week is always a little bit interesting because these players have been committed for a while. So
sure.
It feels a little uneventful. It's not like we're just hoping to see if they'll actually sign that NLI. It's more of just, paperwork on that day. But we are super excited about these three. Gabby Placide from Grandview High School in Denver, we are just stoked about. She is a hidden gem, and there's not many of those these days. I'm not sure how she didn't get more highly recruited, but she is physical. She plays high and hard. She's athletic. She's the type of athlete that we feel like can push us further into postseason in the NCAA tournament. She's that kind of physicality that we see sometimes at the Power Five level that we have a hard time recruiting and sometimes have to kind of play the underdog mentality. But she is that physical player we need. So she's our Colorado kid. The other two are from out of state, Delana Tessina from Ohio and Bella Lepore from Tennessee. Bella is a libero, and so we need some depth in that position. And then Elena is an outside hitter. And so as we graduate two of our pin hitters, we'll need a little bit of depth coming back there. So we're excited about these three.
Yeah, no question about it. Love reading. You know, of course, love reading anytime you guys get big names coming over to your program. But you, of course, have done such a great job of both recruiting in the state, but then outside of the state, you bring in studs. So to me, it's the best of both worlds. Is that something when you start that process, though, where you say, okay, we're looking in state first, we're going to go through that process, look at all these players, and then you start searching out of state?
A little bit. It really is all kind of happening at the same time, but I would say our priority is in-state. And so if two kids are equal, we want to pursue the in-state kid. And sometimes we have a better chance at getting those. They want to stay close to family. And so there's at least some sort of connection. They're familiar with our program. They understand the success that we've had versus you're just trying to reach out to a stranger maybe across the country and then need to sell them on how great Northern Colorado is. So we do look in-state first and then kind of regional, Nebraska, Wyoming, and then Midwest, and then kind of nationally. So that has certainly been our trend. And if Colorado has good kids, we want to be in the mix with them.
Joining us now, head coach of this UNC volleyball team, Lindsey Oates. And coach, I know, again, tonight's a huge night. The weekend coming up, though, Saturday, you've got senior night. I know you're also hosting kind of part of a military appreciation event on Saturday. So Saturday's certainly going to be a busy one.
It is. It's busy for UNC athletics in general. We have men's basketball on Friday night and then football home at noon on Saturday. And as you said, we're doing a veterans kind of appreciation weekends tomorrow and Saturday. And so lots of fun things to get out and see for UNC fans.
Well, you continue to put together each and every year a very good volleyball team, must-see volleyball in this state. Coach, I just wanted to ask you one question about Coach Hilbert. We saw that news out of CSU earlier in the week. What's your relationship like with him?
He's phenomenal. It goes back to when I was in high school, and he recruited me is when I first met him, when he took over the CSU job in 1998 when I was a senior at Eaton. And so got to know him through that, and then since being back at UNC in 2003, he's always been willing to play us, whether it was advantageous to his program or not. We've done a home and away for years, and I've always appreciated that. and just being a little bit further along in his career than I am has been a mentor in some ways, kind of from afar, not necessarily that we talk a lot, but there's oftentimes I'm watching his program and going, we need to do a little bit of that, and they're doing this well, and how can we do that? Volleyball is great in the Northern Colorado area, drawing great crowds, and the rivalry between the two programs has been excellent, and so we can make each other's programs better, and he has certainly been willing and open to that, and you know, his track record speaks for himself, but he has just been phenomenal at CSU.
Well, and you said it, you got a lot of respect for him, but what I love is you know, the friendly rivalry still. You two powerhouses in volleyball, and I've talked to you several times about recruiting in the state, how difficult it is because you have, you know, CSU, you guys go back and forth, and so I'm going to miss that battle between you guys, but I'm sure CSU, you'll set up a new rivalry there with the new head coach.
Yeah, when you're 30 minutes away, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's two good programs.
No,
absolutely.
No question. Coach, we love what you continue to do. Good luck tonight. Good luck this weekend. And we'll look to catch up with you very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right. UNC volleyball head coach Lindsey Oates. They're hosting Idaho State tonight at 6 o'clock. With a win, would set up the battle for the conference title with Weber State, who are they're tied with each other at this point. So a huge game Saturday coming up. All right, UNC, just to mention it, Coach mentioned it, I'll reiterate it. UNC's hosting military appreciation events Friday and Saturday. Men's basketball Friday at 6. Of course, football Saturday at noon. It's also senior day. It's their last home game of the season already. Volleyball Saturday at 6 o'clock is also senior night. That's their last home game. Free tickets for veterans and active duty military using promo code, all caps, military, at uncbears.com/tickets, or you can call 351-4849. There's a $5 general admission ticket for any of this weekend's games, including all three above, if you use the promo code KFKA. So the ones I just mentioned, if you go to the promo code website side of things, use KFKA, you got a $5 general admission. So pretty sweet setup there. 43 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, my Method Flow Products poll question of the day. We're trying to get this border war trash talk going. Who you got this weekend? Who's winning? Will CSU get it together and somehow pull off an upset against Wyoming? Or will the Cowboys get a huge win and put themselves in a big-time position to maybe end up at the top of their side of the conference? It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Game beer of the week. This one is from Odell Brewing in Fort Collins. You can pick up the game beer of the week at On the Rocks Liquor each and every week. This one's a chocolate milk stout. Pick up selections from Odell's or any of your favorite local breweries. They bring in a lot of outside of the Northern Colorado area, too, so they're always making sure to support those local breweries. Check them out at On the Rocks Liquor. Tomorrow, on a Friday, they got their free tastings from 4 to 7. Eagle Rock Distribution will be on hand with tequila and wines to taste. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. All right, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at theholeshow.com. Who's winning? Who do you like, Angel? You like CSU? You like Wyoming? I think Wyoming started the week at 8-point favorites at this point. Are we a little shocked by that, perhaps? Maybe the Rams start to get it going. I did see that Kevin Lytle tweeted, Jay Norvell said more than likely our guy, Clay Millen, is going to play this weekend. So we'll see. Big opportunity here. A lot can be forgiven or forgotten if the Rams find a way at home to beat Wyoming, get the bronze boot. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm wanting trash talk here, Angel. We had some good ones yesterday. Can I read this one on air? I don't know if I'm going to read it. But the 303 says the bronze boot was originally dipped in gold. Then Wyoming finally won it, and they were so proud that they had it bronzed. that's pretty good. I can't read the other one. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Just a go pokes there. Eastside Chris, is this... No, this isn't trash talk, but it's a good text. Brady, I'm nearing seasonal layoff from the workforce. We'll be listening to you more often. That's a bummer. I don't like that. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's a good thing. Keep the dump button handy. I consider On Hell the quarterback, as he calls the plays and can pull the plug anytime he wants. So On Hell is your new nickname from Eastside Chris. How do you feel about that? Angel,
like,
On Hell?
It's a play on words, a little punny. But yeah, I mean, I do have a lot of control back here.
You really do.
You know, I don't want to just cut us off the air for no reason, but I
guess
could.
You do have that ability. You have the ability. He wants to know, are you wearing the wristband today?
Am I wearing the wristband today?
Yeah.
I've been at this long enough, I think, that I don't really need the wristband anymore. You asked me last year. Yeah, I was probably wearing two wristbands just to figure out all these buttons back here. But no, I'm good on it.
You know what I was thinking about? Like, if I'm Geno Smith, I'm thinking, you think the wristband's the reason that I'm doing so well here?
He's going to take it off.
Yeah, take it off.
Watch.
You think I need this wristband?
Watch, 7:30 Sunday morning, Geno Smith will not have a wristband.
That's right. Seattle and Tampa Bay in Germany.
I think that's the first game they played in Germany for the NFL.
I think it is. Yeah, that's cool. Been watching a lot of coverage from Good Morning Football about that, too, because their studio's set up there for the entire week. So really cool if you get a chance to watch Good Morning Football bright and early. They're in Germany, so talking a lot of different sports and bringing on different insiders, so it's pretty good. Texter from the 970 just says, go Pokes. Well, I want to hear some trash talk, dude. I mean, I want to hear this. So far, I've had some good ones. I can't read all of those. NFL referee, I will be throwing an unsportsmanlike conduct on the Broncos for those uniforms. I don't have a problem with the uniforms.
I do. They just don't match. It doesn't look good.
It looks cool.
It looks like a team that's like, oh, crap, we didn't wash the
white
pants.
Forgot the entire uniform. Yeah.
It gets fun for Madden, but on TV, it's...
I think it looks good.
It doesn't look like the Denver Broncos.
I kind of like it. Although, I'm not a big jersey guy. Like, I know Oregon kind of feels like they started doing this more than anybody, and now everyone does different uniform. Although Alabama, they don't really change it up much, do they?
No, they will not change it. Saban is adamant about them not changing it. Although, if they want to just stick to the whole traditional thing, back in like the 50s, they wore white helmets with red stripes or crimson stripes.
Ooh.
So I'm like, that would be a fun little, all white uniform, but it is what it is. Sometimes New Jerseys they can look good or they look really bad. Very hit or miss.
I don't mind this matchup. I really don't. Texter here. It looks like the Broncos are trying to tank terrible uniforms. They won in those uniforms.
So what happens if you lose in those uniforms?
Then you don't ever wear them again. You don't talk about
it. You
wear
the orange jerseys with the blue pants?
See, and I love the orange. I think Denver should be in orange half the time. Okay, this is good. I have to pre-read these things, Angel, before I read them on the air. Texter from the 970, why is the wave banned inside Sonny Lubick Field? Do you know why?
Why is it banned?
Two CSU fans drowned last year.
Surprised there were two fans in the stadium last year.
Oh, look at you go. You're coming at this with on the Wyoming side of things.
I mean, that was a dig at CSU from last year.
That's true.
That was Steve Adazio. That's his fault.
That's his fault, man. This should be. I mean, are we expecting a sellout this weekend? I got to ask Kevin about that because again, the records don't matter. CSU and Wyoming, they hate each other. The fans hate each other. The teams kind of seem like they don't like each other. I don't know. This is about the fans. Rivalries mean way more for the fans. Dude, I'm telling you, poll question years ago. Would you rather have a winning season but lose to Wyoming or have a losing season but win against Wyoming, beat Wyoming? I'm telling you, man, Rams fans, it was like 80%. It was 80% saying they would rather have a losing season but beat Wyoming. Sean texting in from 307. How many CSU? Okay, just gonna. How many CSU students does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but it takes them 6 years to do it. that's pretty good. I'm shocked. We need more Rams because I have a lot of Rams listeners on, Joe. There's a lot, but Wyoming's kind of winning this battle right now. I think it's fair to say the trash talk coming in from Wyoming has been stronger than what I'm seeing for Rams fans. Although I like Wyoming fans, they remind me of CU fans. They remind CU fans of about Nebraska during Border War week. But kudos to them. They are much better than the rest of the year. I don't know. Is that trash talk? Is that really trash talk? That's kind of nice talk right there. Growing pains during a rebuild tear those muscles down before they can build back up stronger and better.
Is that trash talk or a pep talk?
I don't think that's pep talk. You guys are confusing this here. I want trash talk. What do they call a bunch of CSU students standing in a circle holding hands? A dope ring. Why do CSU grads tape their diplomas to the windshield of their car? Do they do that so they can park in handicapped spaces? Ouch! Now I'm reading these texts. That is not me at all. But I want texts. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's Border War week. We'll be right back.